Welcome to today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Calling. I'm your host, Andy Murphy. Kickapoo chef Crystal Wapipa documents the intertribal flavors and characteristics of contemporary Native American cuisine and her upbringing in Oakland in her debut cookbook, A Feather and a Fork. In addition to innovative recipes centering on indigenous ingredients, she gives readers insights into her journey as a food sovereignty warrior. She opened Wapipa's kitchen in Oakland during the pandemic. At the time, her previous commercial kitchen was shutting down, and she says encouragement and positive feedback she received from friends and others in the business kept her going.
I would get all these beautiful messages in my inbox telling me how much they really needed that connection with the food and thanking me. So when my commercial kitchen officially gave us a 30-day notice, I was looking around for another commercial kitchen so I can provide these bars. A chef that I had knew here from the Bay Area said that she's actually going to move out and did I want to take over this restaurant? And because I know you're looking for a kitchen, but at the same time, I kind of did the math and I felt like, you know what, either I'm going to do it or I'm not. And so I end up doing it. And I felt like it was a huge, huge need for the community, just not in Oakland, but all over Native country, where I can inspire other people to open up these restaurants where people can have that connection with the food. And that's when I decided to open up Wapipa's Kitchen, just because I felt like something in my chest and my heart where I felt like this is something that needed to be done.
Wapipa says she's grateful to have grown up surrounded by a variety of indigenous foods and to have connections to her own tribal traditions. She wanted her first book to be both natural and authentic and to offer some insight into her unique place as an indigenous chef.
It came really natural for me, and I was really fortunate that people really believed in my story for me to tell. And I wanted to start off from the very beginning, and I wanted to end at the very end. What I do is a daily basis as an indigenous chef, but then also all these beautiful opportunities that I have been giving as a chef and how we do come from, how we feed our community first. And so I think that was very important for me to share my story and where I come from as a chef and as what we do in the community, how we feed people. And that's how a lot of chefs really begin. We begin feeding the community first. And I think that's very, very important. I don't want it to lose track of that.
That was Crystal Wapipa talking about her first cookbook titled A Feather and a Fork. Another tribal tradition plays out in the streams and rivers well north of Wapipa's Oakland. Ooligan are a small, oily fish that once numbered in the many millions in the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. Now, ooligan populations are threatened or gone altogether in many places. Jason Moody is the Fisheries and Wildlife Planning Coordinator for the Newhulk Nation in British Columbia. He also runs NAN Adventure Tours. He devotes much of his energy to ooligan restoration. He and his community celebrate the small numbers of ooligan that are now returning to their local waters.
It does look like something out there, which is reassuring, like people can actually see the ooligan. And as little as that might seem, it's like a small flame that's ignited all the animals. You start to see the seagulls, the seals, porpoise, dolphin, otters. Everything wants to have some ooligan, including us. So when your research is showing that they are recovering, and I think a lot of this has to do with overfishing, you know, and it's coastwide. There were certain closures on this coast over the last several years, specifically PSSI closures, and we saw instant results from that. We have a sockeye recovery program as well. We saw instant results with that. And then we started to see ooligan come back into areas we hadn't seen them, in numbers we hadn't seen them. So if we protect them out there doing this research, we work on our river and we protect them here and we're diligent, we do our ceremonies, anything's possible.
Moody says the decline in ooligan first became noticeable in the 1990s, driven by a range of factors, including climate change. And he says he is encouraged that efforts to restore ooligan runs appear to be paying off. I'm Andy Murphy, and this is today's Voices.